B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
And these guys.
Oh, my Lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, for the Prime Minister. Sinister. Pete.
Nice.
Kick him in the grill, Pete.
Gas, past tense made facially. Third basal express. Lover gave it the first light.
MF2. Zen Lovax is who he's referring to. KMD, his group. He's coming up soon.
Mr. Weasel? Oh, come in and sit down. So nice of you to come here and dress for the meeting, too. I like the hats. It's a very nice touch.
Put you on tour. Put your record on.
The cameo in a third bass song?
No, yes, he does. I'm not sitting. I'm not
it's, this is the video.
I can make you deaf and dumb. Mac Daddy, slam it! I'll make you big. One big for each one of you. And then just ignore pot number one, pot number two, pot number three, pot number four. Ignore those and just go right to Tiny. Just go right to Tiny. And you know what the money you make?
Yeah, I guess.
Jesus.
Hey, okay. Sorry, didn't know what on that one.
My God.
That's Aretha Franklin in the back.
See, this is really good.
He's about to get to Zen Lovax. Come on, man.
Gas face given. I beg to differ.
Pete, that was real deaf, man, but I gotta get serious now. Hey, yo, Don, step to him again.
Everybody, MC Search.
He already did it later. Zen Lovax,
though.
Video's
bad.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad.
Well, Pop Goes the Weasel was bad. Like, they just had bad videos.
Well, Search insisted on dancing, which is always embarrassing, in a turtleneck, in an orange turtleneck.
That's right. Smooth.
In that video. And, but Zen Lovax from KMD is MF Doom unmasked early, and he's very thin and everything else. And MC Hammer wanted to kill them based on the video for Gas Face. Literally wanted to kill him. We had Pete Nice in studio because he's like this. He's gotten some trouble, but he is the world's like foremost baseball memorabilia collector.
Heard that
some of the authenticity of those objects has been called into question. But he's up in Cooperstown now. But he was down because there was some documentary that he was a part of, and we talked to him about it. It's absolutely true. Hammer had a hit out the. A gang in Oakland. He wanted them dead. Wanted Minister Pete Nice and Search dead. And there you go.
Did the video like have somebody who was like a parody of MC Hammer? Because I listen to that song, I have no idea they're talking.
There's
about
a Hammer. No, it's not. The Gas Face isn't only for Hammer, but he goes, "What do you think about Hammer?" And then they go, "Hammer, this is for Hammer. What do you think about Hammer?" And they give him the Gas Face.
Okay. If I'm Hammer, why the hell would you care what third base thinks?
Because
you're on top of the world.
Because
at
you're
time.
Sensitive, and you realize that you and he probably, you know, it's a pride thing. He didn't like it.
People forget how massive MC Hammer was. Like, he was, I mean, the amount of money he lost, it just makes it even more astounding. But, like, when Too Legit to Quit was out, I mean, he was huge and everywhere.
He was on the sidelines of every Falcons game with Jerry Glanville.
That's right. His motorcycle.
Leaving tickets for Elvis. All right, Bert Breer is from MMQB. He loves texting when you're on vacation. Bert Breer.
Those text chains
just
do go
to keep,
on.
I was just trying to keep you guys updated, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Thanks. That's, with the saga. So I want to...
He's from MMQB, by the way, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
There's so much to get to today, and we'll get to Russell Wilson, we'll get to Deshaun Watson, but there was a interesting thing that was thrown out there by Mel Kiper yesterday, and he was talking about, you know, he's coming out with his mock drafts and trades and all the, and in his latest mock draft, He said that the Patriots, he believes, are going to try to move up and get the 9th pick by making a trade with the Broncos so they can get Trey Lance. What they would agree to, apparently trading, is the 15th overall from this year, a second-round pick, and next year's first-round pick. Is there any chance? Do you see the Patriots, from a guy who's notorious for moving down in the draft,
yeah,
do you see them moving up and trying to get a quarterback?
I mean, I think it's possible, but they would really have to—they'd have to be head over heels for the guy because it's going to be expensive to move up this year.
But Bert, in that mock, if I can just jump in real quick, that mock is a strange scenario because he's got Mac Jones going earlier
ahead
than
of
that.
Trey Lance, right?
So if Mac Jones goes early, that changes everything, and then Trey Lance is available. So. You have to remember that the big part of that draft is that in Mel Kiper's draft is Jones gets taken ahead of Lance. And so just go from there because that's a big, big hypothetical. So go ahead.
Right. And I got to tell you guys, there are a lot of like scouts that don't think Mac Jones belongs in the first round at all.
Oh, yeah.
And so and the thing with Mac Jones is like he's sort of that quarterback where you could draft him and you'd be okay with him, but are you immediately going to be like looking to replace him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. Like, look at the top 10. I think there are really like two teams in the top 10 that we can rule out for quarterbacks. To me, the Bengals and the Cowboys probably won't take quarterbacks. The other eight teams are all in play, which means if there are only four worthy of going that high and maybe a fifth, depending on who you're talking to, and you're drafting 15th, like, I mean, maybe things shake out where one of them falls to you, but you're probably going to have to move up. And if you move up, the other issue is you've got so many other holes to fill on your roster. You're taking away capital to do that. So you're necessarily making the situation around that young quarterback worse. What sort of situation did you have for your quarterbacks the last 2 years?
Yeah, not
very
good.
Whether it was Tom Brady or Cam Newton, right?
Right, right.
So that's sort of the catch-22 of the whole thing.
But if you can get a top...
If you think like Patrick Mahomes, one of these kids is Patrick Mahomes, and you move up to get, do it.
But that's why the Kiper draft is kind of frustrating because, again, I could see them moving up to get Lance because they might go, this kid's a freak. I can't believe he fell this far, and I can't believe that there's four QBs off the board and this kid's still there. So, that changes everything. But that ain't going to happen. I mean, are you hearing from anyone that Mac Jones would get taken ahead of one of those four kids?
I don't think so. I mean, I'd be surprised if he did because, like I said, I think too many teams look at him and say, well, yeah, he's a great kid and he can take on a lot of volume, you know, from a scheme standpoint, and he's going to be like the hardest worker in your building. But again, are you drafting the guy where in like 3 years you're going to be like, well, we sort of have to replace this guy? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's like where the Bengals were with Andy Dalton for a lot of those years, right? Where they drafted him and it's like they were really happy with him. And he got him to the playoffs, but they were always sort of like, do they need to replace him? Like, that's who I think Mac Jones is. And do you want to take that guy in the top 10? Because if you are taking a guy in the top 10, the other thing about taking a quarterback that high, you're probably not taking another one for a long time if you take a quarterback that high. So it's different than like taking a flyer on a kid in the second or third round where, all right, we'll take a shot on this kid, and then next year maybe we try it again, you know?
Okay, so just staying with the Patriots, because let's say they don't do this and they do want to try to get one of these many quarterbacks that are floating around on the market. There was a story that came out this past week, not a story, I mean the GM came out and said that Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, is going to be a part of the 49ers. A, how much do you believe that? And B, if that you do think that is the case, where does that leave the Patriots right now?
So I'm going to like I've said this enough times, I think, like where I really do believe this. Now I'm going to sound like John Lynch when I say that. But unless there's a clear upgrade, Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be available, period. Like they've got a team they feel like they can contend with now. Like if you do not like if you expect what's out there for the Niners where
Sam Darnold,
you have to have someone. That's the thing. Maybe it's Sam Darnold. Maybe it's Deshaun Watson down the line. But if it's Deshaun Watson, I don't think that's happening for another couple months. So if you're the Patriots, can you wait for that domino to fall and then Jimmy Garoppolo to become available? Like, it's just, to me, it's like the the idea of bringing in Garoppolo, I think the Patriots would absolutely do it if they had the chance to. I just, like, I don't know where the upgrade is going to come for the Niners. Like, Russell Wilson, for example, the Seahawks aren't trading him in division. You know what I mean? Like, even if they were going to trade him, and I think a ways away from that, even if they were going to trade him, they wouldn't trade him in division. And so, like, before you ask me about, like what it's going to take to get Jimmy Garoppolo, you got to tell me what the Niners are going to have in front of them that's going to get them to move off of Jimmy Garoppolo. And that's the biggest problem there.
Yeah, because no one's really available right now. And just quickly, because Darnold would be in, if Darnold being in play does affect the Patriots because it's a domino that could fall. So that's why I'm mentioning this, listeners. Yeah. It sounds from a lot of people now that the Jets might stick with Darnold. If for anything else, well, I mean, there's so much, they could get so much draft capital in exchange for keeping him.
Two.
Yeah. Well, no, they could trading out of two. Yeah. If you keep him, then you trade out of two, right, and all of a sudden you get a windfall out of that. So,
Here's where the Jets are. They've taken calls, and I'd say, I think, you know, seven or eight teams have called them over the last, whatever it is, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And it sort of what triggered the phone calls was the Stafford trade, which is what triggered the calls on Wentz. And that's where sort of the market for quarterbacks started to heat up a little bit. The Jets have told teams to this point, like, that we still want to look at we're assessing our own quarterbacks. We're also assessing the quarterbacks in the draft. Now, the Jets want to look at the three kids that, you know, would be available to them that would be worth potentially taking second overall, Lance, Fields, and Wilson. The problem is, like, they want to see them live, and that's the issue. This year, like, you don't have a combine, right? So that's out the window. You don't have private workouts. You can't bring the guy in. So, like, the only chance you're going to have to go and see him throw live is at the pro day. And, oh, by the way, a lot of these teams haven't seen those guys throw live because of all of the COVID restrictions with travel and everything else. They couldn't even see him throw live in the fall. So I know that the Jets want to see those three guys throw live. Here's the issue with that. North Dakota State's pro day is March 12th. BYU's isn't until March 26th. And Ohio State's isn't until March 31st. So if you want to wait to see those guys throw live before you make a final decision on whether or not you're going to draft a quarterback second or keep Sam Darnold, the whole veteran quarterback market could pass you by and you could lose value on Darnold. So that's sort of the, you know, rock and hard place that the Jets are at right now. And I think that they probably move Darnold. The question is, if they do wait, are they going to be able to get any value whatsoever for him in April?
All right, we'll be back. There was a very interesting article about the situation with Russell Wilson, which is just hysterical. He is just the worst. And we'll discuss that.
Mr. Unlimited?
Oh, my God. This article is everything I thought. It's,
I don't know if you listened to the first segment of the show, Bart, but
it's everything I thought it would be. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, guys. Russell here. Yes, the typical boring, yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. You know, I'm real exciting. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you gotta be unlimited. Tell them, I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Who is your go-to person for advice, Russell?
they think Pete Carroll, they think this person, think that person. Love you, Pete, but it's Mr. Unlimited. Tell them.
Just the worst. Russell Wilson, and that's a man who thinks he's got a career outside of football and entertainment. Russell Wilson wants to, quote-unquote, wants to leave Seattle. And
in a passive-aggressive way.
No, hang on, Fred. You're underselling the way that the news went out. It was that he's not asking for a trade.
Exactly.
But if he were to ask for a trade, it would be to the following four teams. The Bears, the Saints, the Cowboys, and I forget who the other one was, and the Raiders. So, first of all,
and if you're going to trade me, I'd like you to let me know before April 1st.
Right. Right. If you want to make these calls, I wouldn't be against
and
it,
by the
I'm
way,
if
I, that list has changed. And by the way, that list has changed based on that he had teams on there originally that he would he knew that there was no way that they would make a deal for him.
Well, first of all, if I'm Dak Prescott or Derek Carr, are you saying to yourself, what the F, Russell? Like, what's going on? Like, I'm the quarterback for these teams right now.
Well, Russell Wilson has got a good relationship with everyone in the league. He's a super cool guy. his teammates love him. That's why Pete Carroll had to come out and tell everyone to be really nice to him because they were too mean to him because he was such a nerd in Seattle. All right, so I always knew Russell Wilson was a huge nerd. I knew that no one on that team respected him. And now there's an article in The Athletic that proves all of this, and it's everything that I thought. Russell Wilson, if you don't know, was very angry at the Super Bowl. He was there to get his Man of the Year award, and he saw that Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady were in the Super Bowl, and he said, why is that not me? I want to be Tom Brady. I want to be like that. And then he married this Sierra, and they signed a CAA, and then he wants to be a star off the field because of, you just heard it. I mean, they can put together funny skits for people.
Yeah, it's like the Jack Easterby school of comedy there.
Yeah, he's a real charismatic guy. He's great. He really hits with the youth, that nerd. And so it's funny because the article like tries to play both sides, but it's so obvious he's the worst. And you know, there's a guy who's watching film of him and is going, "What the F is wrong with this guy? He stinks." And so and then there's a player who says, well, Russell's just trying to spin this PR-wise because he's been terrible. Okay, let's start with this. Russell Wilson, does he have a leg to stand on here? And it doesn't sound to me like Seattle would be completely opposed to moving him if they weren't stuck with dead money.
So, like, I think this is really that there are two things that sort of trigger this. Number one, I was told he had a meeting with his people right after the season, like the Monday, Tuesday after the season. And they were talking about, hey, we're entering the, and you know how these things go. We're entering the second half of your career now. So like, what do we want to do? You know, nutrition, strength, all of that different stuff. And I guess the conversation from what I understand sort of turned to controlling things, right? And, you know, it's controlling what you can control, of course, with your own training. But then it was sort of talking about how like you might be able to better control your fate, whether it's in Seattle or somewhere else. And of course that plays into the whole idea of having input. So that's what I was told. There was this meeting right after the season that kind of addressed that, where Russell addressed that with his team of people. And then, you know, a few weeks later, you see what Aaron Rodgers came out and said after the NFC Championship game. And that essentially gave Russell Wilson cover to do the same thing, right? Like, so we've heard both Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson grumble. Like, we've heard like the rumblings. They haven't gone public with it, but we've heard those rumblings about the things that are around those two guys over the years. Once Aaron Rodgers went public with it the day after the NFC Championship game, look it up. How long did it take Russell Wilson to come out and say something?
Typical nerd follower.
It was like a day, right?
Nerd follower.
It was like right away.
Put me in the story. I want to be in the story too. Oh, you stink.
Right. It was like right away. And so, look, I think a lot of the people in Seattle, the people I know that are like, you know, that have been there a long time, that went through there the last few years, what they'll tell you is this guy does not realize how good he has it. He does not realize, like, when he came into the league, how lucky he was to be playing for the team that he was playing for that had a historic defense, right? And, like, where he didn't need to be Superman to win on a week-to-week basis. And so, like, they've always sort of, I think, you know, in a certain way, they've always built the team the way that, and this was in the Athletic story, the way Pete sees football being played, right? Mm. So last year, and Brian Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator there, lobbied Pete Carroll to do this, to kind of open the offense up, and we can make this work. And for half the season, it worked. And then Russell starts turning the ball over. And then they sort. And then Pete's like, all right, like, well, we cannot play this way.
So let's emphasize that they did what Russell Wilson wanted, and he couldn't do it. Okay,
right.
Continue.
So he could for the first, like,
until
the first 6 or 7 weeks. But then what happened was, and this happens a lot in football. We see this, like, every year we see this. Team does something new. It works for 6 or 7 weeks. And then all of a sudden, you know what? The rest of the league has tape on it, and they catch up to it. And either the offense keeps evolving or, you know, you're stuck. And that's sort of, I think that's where the Seahawks felt like they were with Russell when he was turning the ball over. I think there was a game against, and I don't have the two games. There were 7 turnovers in 2 games, which is,
I remember that. Yeah. It was bad.
Yeah.
And it seems too like one of the criticisms, at least from this article, that was thrown out there was that Pete Carroll apparently got a lot of flack from some of the other players in the locker room because they said he wasn't tough enough on Russell Wilson. And then didn't he specifically hire like an offense or like a quarterback's coach that was known for basically giving these guys like no slack? They like basically hired someone to be mean to him, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and I you know, and there's definitely been that element there where
of them coddling him.
Right. And that was why the defensive players back in 2012 and 2000, but that's why they had such a problem with Russell. Right. Because if you went out there and like, and you saw what their practices were like in like 2012, 2013, 2014, when they were really rolling and the practices were more intense than games, like that was their culture. Right. And like during training camp, like it was a tough, competitive, edgy environment. And you guys remember the tension there, right? Like there was like a competitive tension.
Sure.
And a lot of the defensive players resented how Russell seemed to be like he wasn't subject to that, right?
Well, Carroll told him to take it easy on him.
And that was what they really resented that. And I will tell you this, like a lot of the defensive players from that era are looking at this now and saying, I told you so. In fact, I texted with one guy who said, like, the truth always comes to light. Mm-hmm. Like, this is revealing itself now. All the stuff that those guys were saying in 12 and 13 and 14, when a lot of those defensive players were being painted as, oh, well, this guy's just jealous of the quarterback. Like now those guys are looking at it and saying, we told you this is what the guy is.
Yeah, but there's a little bit of revisionist history there. I mean, Russell Wilson those years was unbelievable.
He's so great. No, he's great.
No one's saying he's not good.
This isn't about his level of play.
No, this is.
They think he's phony. They think he's phony. I mean, let's call it what it is. They think he's phony.
Yes. They think he's a huge nerd. This whole thing is phony and that he's a poser and weak mentally. And it's everything I inferred, and it's absolutely all true. Now,
and nobody's saying he can't play. That's the thing. No one's saying he can't play.
No, but it's just he wants. It's so frustrating with these guys. He's like, well, I want to win. Then win. Then you win. Like you're in it, and you like you said, Bert. He doesn't know how good he has it. You're in a position to win.
So is he gone? Like,
yeah.
I mean, is this salvageable or
yeah,
what?
Could he leave this year? What would it take? Who would be in play?
I mean, I'll say what I've said for a few weeks on this, and maybe I'll move my viewpoint if it gets worse, because this is as public as it's gotten. I don't think he finishes his career as a Seahawk, but I don't think that the divorce happens now. Like, I just think that with a 70-year-old coach, with a team that's still, you know, really good. I mean, they've been in the playoffs, what is it, 9 times in the last 11 years?
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, I don't know how, if you're the Seahawks, you sit here and you pull the plug. Like, especially because, consider this, they don't, it's not only that, They don't have a first round pick this year. They don't have a first round pick next year because
they got Geno Smith at backup. Man, they're set.
Yeah.
Geno can just step in there and take care of business. You want to talk about a guy who commands a locker room? Geno Smith is your man.
Unless he's getting hit, yeah.
Unless so if you're the Seahawks, what do you like? Why would they like the Seahawks are like in an like
no? They're not gonna
they're not gonna trade him.
They're not gonna trade him. But if I'm Carroll, life's not gonna be easy for Russell Wilson next year in Seattle because I'd be like, okay, you want to win? Let's get right back to the way it was when we were winning and defense. You have your way. Let's ratchet the competition up. And Russell, you're just like everyone else. And
here's the other thing. Here's the other thing.
I draft a QB too. I draft a QB in the second or the third. Or can they in the second round? I don't know if they have the second round pick. I draft a QB somewhere in the draft.
I don't think the other thing is I don't think the market for Wilson would be what it is for Watson.
Oh, please, no.
Because he's 32 years old. He's going to be 33 years
he's
old.
He's declining.
Like if you're like let's take the Jets as the example. The Jets would be in on Watson, no question. With the if you're the Jets, would you be in on Wilson?
Nope. No. If I was the Patriots, I wouldn't be in on Wilson.
Oh, right. I would. So, I mean, I don't think that the market for Wilson would be what it would be for Watson either, for the obvious reason, which is age.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Age and decline in play, and his attitude. Everything about him, and I like the attitude too. We talked about this with the Celtics that like, well, I want to be an All Pro, I want to be in Hall of Famer, like I want the offense to open up so I can put up these numbers. I mean, he wants the offense to open up so he can put up numbers, and it's just it's nauseating. And you have a player's coach, a great owner, a great organization, one of the best fan bases in football, and by the way. He wanted to go to New York. Now he realizes that's never going to happen. But he wanted to go to New York to either team. And for what? So him and Sierra, for what? What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Who wants to pay money or to watch something with him talking? Get out of here with that.
So that list of teams, too. I mean, I think the only team... Like the only like that list that he had, the four teams, the Cowboys, the Raiders, the Bears, and the Saints, only one of those teams is on that list for football reasons. One.
Yeah.
The Saints are the only one that's on that team for football reasons.
Yep. Oh, boy.
You don't think he'd do well in Dallas?
Nope.
Well, no. I mean, but like Dallas would be great for him for non-football reasons.
Yeah, he wants to go to Dallas because they're America's team and he's 100.
Cowboys, Raiders, Bears. Yeah, I mean, that's where it is.
Yeah. I mean, he wanted to go to New York, but you notice that was the original plan. He wanted to go to the Giants or the Jets, and then he realized that ain't going to happen. And because he wanted to go to New York because he's such a big star. I mean, can't you see? He's the new Jim Brown. He's going to star in a bunch of action movies.
Hey, everybody, it's Ron. Hey, I came to party at the new Cobra. We'll clean up an aisle, too.
That's right. Just take Jim Brown's all his old roles and just do remakes of it. He could be in The Running Man.
Yeah, he could be the 5'8 Running Man. He's the same size as Sylvester Stallone. He can do all that.
That was Schwarzenegger,
I apologize. I was thinking Cobra still. I mean, that article is great. If you haven't read it, guys, read MMQB first, but if you can... find the
athletic article.
The athletic article. I mean, it's just great. He's just, it's everything. It couldn't have been written more perfectly for what I thought of that guy. It's just everything. I want to do this. Then do it. I mean, you're not in jail, dude. You're on an NFL team that's good. Haji Maji. Don't be mean to Russell. He can't take it because he's a big nerd.
I mean, like, how many I don't know. There's part of me that looks at this and I look at, like, Deshaun Watson's situation. I'm like, all right, like, it's a total clown show there. I 100% understand why Deshaun Watson's sitting there and saying, like, get me out of here.
Yes.
If I'm Russell, like, how many Hall of Famers has Russell Wilson played with?
I know. And then also,
how many Hall of Fame players has he played with?
We have to break, but I said this a million times, and I know I'm not reinventing the wheel. Where are you going to go? Like, how are these other teams better? Yeah, get him in Dallas. Oh, yeah, all of a sudden you're going to win Super Bowl after Super Bowl in Dallas. Go put him in Chicago.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like Deshaun Watson, Matthew Stafford. Like, I understand those. You know what I mean?
Yes, well, I just said it about Stafford. Stafford went to the organization and he said, look, we're rebuilding again. I'm 32. I've been through a lot of injuries. would you mind moving me? And they went, yeah, it makes sense for everyone. Yeah, Russell Wilson, you're winning. You lose those playoff games. You throw those picks. It's awful. And why is Brady not getting sacked as much as me? Because he's the best ever, and he gets rid of the ball in 0.1 seconds. No one has a chance to hit him. All right, we'll be back with more from Burt Breer. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, Zolak and Bertrand.
I like this.
Right now.
This to me is fun.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Which is happening right at this moment.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
People either hating me or liking me.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
My intuition is telling me there'll be better days. Life is tough. Yeah. My intuition is telling me there'll be better days. I sit in silence and find whenever I meditate. My fears alleviate, my tears evaporate, my faith don't deviate.
985 Sports Hub, you gotta meditate. You gotta meditate.
Bringing me closer to heaven's doors with every step.
As the country is gonna reach mass agoraphobia as these things open back up, I suggest meditation. Mindfulness, TM, whatever you want. Get involved. All right, what's going on? Burt Breer, we have you on.
There was a very angry Deshaun Watson yesterday, Fred. Did you see that?
I did. He just puts these cryptic tweets.
I guess those were lyrics, too. I didn't know, but I heard they were lyrics.
Sure.
You know what? I like Deshaun Watson a lot, and I'm on his side, obviously, in this whole situation. I don't think there's anybody who couldn't be. But I just kind of wish he wouldn't, like stuff like this makes you go, all right, dude. Because the quote was, loyalty is everything. Don't you ever forget it. And, you know, that obviously he's pissed off at what's going on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think we've known he's pissed off. And, like, what happened this week that made him speak up again and put this cryptic message out into the universe?
I think it's just, like, I think it's just general frustration with the situation and kind of being caught in, I guess it's like kind of this abyss of, you know, I'm not traded, but I want to be traded. And, look, like, the one thing that like sort of has come up the last couple of weeks and talking to some people around him, and somebody brought this point up to me that I thought was super interesting. It takes a lot to piss him off. Like, he is really level-headed, really even-keeled, and like he's one of these guys where it's almost like, you know, like my dad was this way. Like, it took a lot to piss my dad. Like, my mom would get mad at us, but like it took a lot to piss my dad off.
My dad was that way, except the opposite.
But you did not. But you did not want to piss him off, right?
Sure. Like, when you get them angry, you know it's legit, right?
Yeah. And I think that's like sort of like that's sort of the idea here is like with Deshaun, it's like he's very even keel and doesn't like things don't bother him. Like, he's kind of unaffected by things around him, and you know, I think you saw that he was able, like, okay, like I can manage the DeAndre Hopkins thing, even though I didn't like how that went down. I didn't like that I found out about it on social media. I can handle my coach getting fired. I can handle the GM game. And eventually it got like, so like he kind of internalized all of this and internalized it. And, you know, then, you know, over the last 2 months, they finally set him off. And now it's like, they're trying to reel him back in. But he's one of those guys that, like, if you get to that point with him, and that's where I think that's what that tweet sort of references, right? Like, I'll be loyal to you until you show me that you're not going to be that way to me, and then you're dead. And so, like, I think that's sort of what he's – I think that's the cryptic message inside of that tweet.
Okay, so I mean, with him, you know, firing off this way, and with the new report that came out, which is fantastic, that I guess the Texans aren't taking any calls, but they're letting you leave a voicemail with your offers. Apparently, teams are calling and leaving voicemails to Cal McNair and the rest of the guys and Nick Caserio on what they would give up for Deshaun Watson. I mean, it seems like they're not budging over with Houston. Like, they're not even making a move right now, or what are they doing? It just seems like a organization that has put their foot in the sand and said nope. And that's obviously from what I also read yesterday, Deshaun Watson like 100% is not going to play for this team when it comes time.
Would he sit out? Would he actually sit out until they trade him?
He's pretty principled. Now, I don't know if he'd sit out, because that's where things could get really ugly. Like, if they start fining him, there are rules in the new CBA that you cannot forgive fines now. Like, that if you start fining a guy, like, you can't just give him the money back, which is a weird, like, ownership, like, tweak to the CBA, but it's in there. And they, like, they could potentially could go after his signing bonus money, which would be, like, basically firing a nuke at your quarterback, you know? So, I think, like everybody around him says, like he's principled enough where he would sit out. Like, this guy is like very much would take that sort of stand. This is the kind of guy he is. We're still a long way from that happening, though, because chances are there's not going to be any spring workouts, right, because of COVID. Even if there are, that stuff is voluntary. And so really, like, on paper, the first time they could find him would be if they had a mandatory mini camp in June. Outside of that, it would be training camp in July. So there's a lot of time to work this out. And the Texans are working with flexibility here, in that, you know, like I said with Darnold, like if they don't trade him now, like, seats could fill up and it could affect his value. Same dynamic that I think was at play with Wentz and some other guys. Like, Deshaun's immune to that. Teams will drop their quarterbacks to trade for him. So the Texans don't have to worry about him losing value if they hold on to him for an extra couple months.
And Bert, I know this is not apples to apples, but he's also human. Do you think that there's any resentment as to how J.J. Watt was treated by this organization?
No, I don't think it's that. I think the resentment. So I think what it is, and I remember talking to him about this. This was Thanksgiving after their game. They beat the Lions. He played great. And he said, like, he's like, they told me that I was going to be involved in the GM and coach search. I'm looking forward to that. He's like, they just signed me to an extension. Like I can understand why they would want my input. And it really sounded like it sounded like the opposite of like what we were just talking about with Russell Wilson. It sounded like, hey, I really appreciate that they want me in the room. Like, thank you for telling me that you're going to involve me in this. And yeah, I'll give you my input. And so, like, it's like, if you tell the guy that, and you involve and you're keeping him abreast of everything for like 6 or 7 weeks leading up to it, and then, you know, he finds out that you're hiring a GM that was completely out of left field on social media, how's he going to take that? After he found out about the DeAndre Hopkins trade 9 months earlier on social media, like, that's what it is. It's communication. Yeah. It's like horrible, horrible, horrible management of your superstar quarterback. And this has nothing to do with Nick Caserio or David Culley. That's not these guys. Those guys, it's not their fault.
No.
This is Cal McNair and
Jack Easterby.
Yeah, it's Cal McNair and Jack Easterby.
Yeah.
But then you're a brand new head coach. You meet with your star quarterback for the first time. Star quarterback sits down right in front of you and says, I have no intention of ever playing for you.
Right.
How'd that meeting go?
I mean, I think my sense of it is that Deshaun takes that meeting to basically tell the guy, listen, I don't have a problem with you, but this isn't your fault. Like, and I think it's like Deshaun trying to be respectful of a guy who has sort of been thrown in the middle of this.
Well, it's also so to show I'm not being silent. I'm just being silent to those guys. Like, right. This isn't just me going off the grid. I'm normal Deshaun Watson. I just don't want to talk to you, the people in the front office.
And it also it's also not a bad move, because it illustrates how chaotic the two gentlemen that you mentioned before are, in Cal McNair and Jack Easterby, is that, okay, I realize you're the coach, you know, you're completely unqualified for this position, but I'll meet with you, and you deserve, as a man and as a guy who took this job, like, you haven't wronged me. You've done nothing except take a job.
Right.
That
he's not going to do David Culley what they did to him.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Sure. Exactly. Yeah. So it's
a good move.
It shows he's an honorable guy, and that it illustrates that he has a problem specifically with two people in the organization. And I also do believe that he believes that there is a culture there that is not on the level in terms of race in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no, and I think that that's definitely, I would say, like, I don't know, you mentioned JJ. I don't know that it relates directly to JJ.
Well, they did JJ right.
I don't know that it directly. Like, I don't know if Deshaun's view of it directly relates to JJ, because JJ didn't have much trade value anyway, right? Like, so whatever, they're letting him go out, and he's at the end of his career, not like at the beginning of his career, like Deshaun is. You know, still, like, I mean, remember, like, Deshaun was a rookie when that stuff happened with Bob McNair, with Cal's dad, right? And the inmates running the prison thing, right? So, if you're Deshaun, it probably wouldn't be hard to put two and two together here and how they're treating you, you know, and how they're sort of, I mean, let's call it what it is. Like, it probably feels to him like they're patronizing him, or they have been patronizing him over the last year, right?
Yeah.
And they don't really view him as, they don't really view him as part of the decision-making process.
And also
they're making him feel that way.
That goes hand in hand, which I believe that there's a belief in that locker room that the McNair and his family are racist, and you know, that's my belief.
And I mean, if you're Deshaun, and again, your first impression coming into the league, like, you were a pro football player at that point for 6 months, and that happens, and you watch Dwayne Brown, who is like maybe the most respected guy in the locker room, like, force his way out in the aftermath of that. Like, I mean, if that was your first impression, and now you're being treated this way 4 years later, I think it'd be hard not to put two and two together if you're that guy.
But I don't know if he's wrong.
I also call him Nick at Night. That's funny.
But
did
I mean,
he end up finding Malcolm at the airport?
No, he never found Malcolm at the airport. But it was a great story, though, wasn't it?
Shout out to the fish.
Boy, that guy, that mental midget is completely wrapped that owner around his finger.
That's right. One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's funny. But anyway.
That's funny. Yeah, it's really funny. There's fish under the sea. Oh, boy. All right. Well, listen, Burt Beer, great stuff as always. You can read him. I'm an MMQB. We always appreciate the time. I don't care about the tweets from these people, so you can leave me off of those. Thank you so much for the time, sir. We really appreciate it.
All right. That's thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
I laugh at that all the time. I'm like, man, you know, Jesus walking on water. Like, hey, what's up, fish?
Do you laugh at that all the time? Well, you're insane. If that's on a loop in your head and you're laughing about it, you're nuts.
It's the voices in his head, Fred.
Yeah, you're insane. You laugh about that all the time? Great. Do you? Okay.
I actually think it was a bad move on the Texans' behalf not getting anything for J.J. Watt. I think they screwed up there. I know it's a controversial opinion because, like, oh, you got to do the guy right. I mean, you could have gotten something for the guy.
At that point, they probably figured, we need something in our favor.
Some one positive thing in his blackness.
Goodwill.
Yeah, we don't need J.J. Watt going nuts now. All right, when we come back, I've heard rumors of a certain court in session.
Oh, yes, court would be in session.
All right, fart court on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.